Thanks for coming out, everybody that stayed. So today I'm presenting the research I did, and currently working for working on my master's degree at Iowa State. I'd like to begin by just sort of giving a brief introduction about why biomass production is needed. It's no surprise to anybody who's filled up their gas tank recently. The price of gas is rising. It's going to keep rising. And one way for the country to meet its be energy independent is to produce a domestic energy source such as ethanol from residues. So currently, most of the ethanol produced in the U.S. is by grain, particularly corn grain. But that will only take us so far. It's been estimated that approximately, if you took all the grain produced, all the corn grain produced in the U.S. and turned into ethanol, it would still only meet between 15% and 25% of our transportation fuel needs. So cellulose, the ethanol produced from cellulose is expected to fill the gap. And one of the reasons why is that it's readily available, and you can use a wide variety of different sources, and many of those are region specific. And the U.S. government has actually set goals to actually supplement some of the petroleum fuel use. I'm sure most people have heard of the 25 by 25, 30 by 30 goals. To meet these goals, it's been estimated that we're going to need to be able to produce approximately between 600 to 700 million tons per acre, or tons per year, not tons per acre. So how do we produce this? Well, we got several options. First is that we can develop new crops such as miscanthus. Secondly, we can continue to improve existing crops for high yields such as switchgrass and corn. These are probably the most beneficial long term, but there's not much short term solution here. The more immediate action would be to use some kind of alternative management or alternative systems such as double cropping systems. For those of you who don't know, double cropping is simply growing two crops on the same area of land during the same growing season. And it really has some advantages for producing biomass. One is that harvest is not limited by physiological maturity. Whenever it needs harvested to plant the succeeding crop, you just harvest it and plant the crop. You can store it as hay or silage, depending on what the crop is. Also, because usually there's more of a vegetative cover over the whole a longer portion of the growing season, you tend to have and a more efficient use of resources such as solar energy and nitrogen. And also there's some environmental issues such as increasing soil carbon and potentially reducing erosion runoff. But with the good comes the bad. By adding an additional crop to the system, you're going to increase the more management, more money for producers. And this is probably one of the main limitations as why it hasn't really been used so far. And there's been issues associated with limited moisture for the second crop, and it's really not totally sustainable. It does provide some environmental benefits in reducing erosion, but you're also removing a lot of biomass from that area, and with that biomass, a lot of nutrients. So what we wanted to do for this project, we wanted to compare 12 different sorghum genotypes as a full season crop and in a double cropping system, and also to compare triticale grown in a double cropping system and as a season long crop. We also want to look at the biomass and forage quality of these crops, and also the total production cost for the whole systems. So, as I stated before, we used triticale planted in the fall of the year and harvested in the early spring, and was followed by 12 different sorghum genotypes, which I'll get to here in a second. We did this at actually two different locations, representing three environments. Last growing season and this growing season, we did it in central Iowa at the Sorensen Farm in Ames. And this past growing season at the Northwest Research Farm in Northwest Iowa. The experimental design was a randomized complete block split plot design with four replications. The whole plot consisted of the double cropping plots and the season-long sorghum plots, while the subplots were the sorghum genotypes. We used three types of sorghum, three types, and four cultivars of each. You can see here we chose to use sweet sorghum, forage sorghum, sorghum Sudan grass, because those are usually the highest biomass producers. And also, within the double cropping system, there's also an extra subplot in which the triticale was allowed to mature and harvested as a season-long forage crop. And due to the intrinsic nature of that the project layout, we couldn't really analyze it as a strict normal split plot design. Anybody that knows my advisor knows he loves statistics. He wouldn't make it this easy for me. So so what we actually did, we actually analyzed it as a one-way factorial with 25 separate treatments, 12 of them being the season-long sorghum genotypes, 12 being double cropping sorghums, and then one as a season-long triticale. We then used orthogonal contrast to determine the system effects, and also due to the covariance between the season-long triticale within the double cropping whole plots, we modeled that with using a compound symmetry structure. But as for the varieties by themselves, we analyzed those just as you would a regular normal split plot. Also, we used the cost analysis. We used the numbers estimates produced by Iowa State, the ag business department. We also used, on these estimates, we used the recommended soil nutrients, N, P, and K, that was recommended for an optimum soil test. And also, one of the things we assumed with this cost analysis was that the triticale was harvested as a hay crop and that the sorghum was harvested as silage. So you can see here on the y-axis we have the total production of the systems in megagrams per hectare, and on the x-axis the actual cropping systems. As you can see, in the green was a season-long triticale. It was the lowest total system with 4.78 megagrams per hectare. Next was a double cropping system with a total production of 14.7 megagrams per hectare. One thing I really want to point out here was that the triticale produced in the double cropping system and the season-long system was not significantly different. It was slightly lower in the double cropping system, but again, no significant difference. And so if you did the math in your head, hopefully you did, that the sorghum portion was 10.3 megagrams per hectare. But clearly, the overall winner was the sorghum's average across all genotypes in a season-long system with 20.4 megagrams per hectare. So if you break this down into the varieties, you can see here that choosing the variety of sorghum did have a significant effect on biomass production. However, there wasn't any kind of there wasn't a cropping system by variety interaction. What that means is that the high producing sorghums and the season-long sorghum were also the high producing sorghums in the double cropping system, which can be better seen right here. Again, I have the total yield on the y-axis and the sorghum genotypes on the x-axis. The first four, M81E, Super Sorghum 405, Sugar Tea, and Topper, represent the sweet sorghums. The next four, from 1990 to Silo Master D, represent the forage sorghums, and from actually the last four are the sorghum by Zernan grasses. You can see here there's really not one clear winner. In fact, if you average across the different types, there was no significant difference between the sweet sorghums, forage sorghums, sorghum Zernan grasses. So if you're going to choose a sorghum, you're going to have to base it on a specific cultivar and not necessarily on associated with a specific gene, specific type of sorghum. So you can see the season-long crop is shown in blue, and the double cropping system is shown in the red and green. The red represents the triticale, and again, there was no significant difference between the triticale across the double cropping systems. So that means that the total variance between the systems is due solely to the production of the sorghum. And you can see, especially with the high producers such as Sugar Tea, which is a biomass sorghum developed in Texas A&M by Bill Rooney, and also Pace Setter and Mega Green, each is all separate different types of sorghum, and they were the higher producing in both the double cropping system and the season long crop. And so what this means financially for the producers is that you can see here, this is a rough cost analysis, so don't take this and go tell producers you're going to be able to put this much in per acre. We're still working on this, but you can see here that the season-long crop had the lowest variable, fixed, and total costs than both the season-long sorghum and the double-cropping sorghum. You would sort of expect that because, one, there's not much requirements for growing Geelong triticale. It has a lower seed cost and has a lower fertilizer rate. And one other interesting thing here is you can see if you're looking at the double cropping system, even though you're adding an additional crop, the total cost isn't necessarily an additive effect. One of the reasons why it was in the analysis, some of the estimates we used for the sorghum, such as harvesting with the silage and hauling the silage, was based on how much biomass was produced. And so based on that, you can see here, we had, obviously on the last slide you saw that we had lower sorghum, so that absorbs some of the additive, the extra cost of producing the biomass. But I guess the real meat and taters of the slide, if you really want to get into it, is this right here, is that even though lower cost does not necessarily translate to more biomass. So if you really break down the total cost to how much biomass is produced, you can see even though triticale had little more than half the cost, when you break it down, the cost for actually how much biomass was produced, it actually had the highest. And not surprising, season-long sorghum is the lowest. But so the total cost analysis for the I broke it down here by each individual crop, but if you average across both crops, it comes out still around the same at $155 per hectare or per megagram. And so you can see here by using double cropping system, it actually lowered the total cost per megagram of triticale and rose a little bit for sorghum. Why it decreased in triticale is probably due because some of the fixed costs, such as rent, was actually split between the two crops. So that's probably for that. And the actual sorghum, we're producing less sorghum, so you're actually you're putting in roughly the same cost but not getting as much out of it. So when you leave here today, I hope you're thinking, remember three things from this presentation. First, that sorghum grown in full season was the most productive system compared to a double cropping and a winter annual triticale. Also, the selection of sorghum genotypes for biomass production is not necessarily associated with sorghum type, but should be based on sorghum cultivars. And also, although full season sorghum, you can see it was cheaper to produce, one of the things that we didn't take into account in that cost analysis is the environmental benefits associated with double cropping systems. And it's really, I've heard other people talk, it's really kind of hard to put a price on that. It's really, when you get down to it, it's up to the farmer. So there might be some short-term cost benefits to short season-long sorghum, but due to the erosion, increased nutrient application, that the double crop system might actually be more financially beneficial long-term. So I'd like to thank my committee, Ken Moore, Steve Fales, Emily Heaton, who's the only one here, the whole Moore lab, our technicians, Trish and Roger, the graduate students, and our seed producers, Bill Reed, A&M. Also, I guess I have to thank my wife, because I know she's probably learned more about forage production than she really ever cared to learn. So, so thank you. I'll take any questions. I think it was due to moisture, because I really, thinking last night, going through it, back in the slides, sorghum is supposed to be a more drought tolerant, but what I was actually started thinking about this summer when I was looking at, we actually did the maturity stages at the end of the growing season when we harvested them, and you can see in the double cropping ones, they just did not grow at all. They really didn't start growing until later in the season. And I think they just kind of went dormant because of the moisture.